Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be. God bless you. We're so glad that we're able to come together and let's just worship the Lord. See what it is that the Lord has for us today. I know that it is a time of worry and a time that people are going through all kind of different things, but let's start with the scripture today to uplift our spirits and get us in the right frame and mind. Aren't we just glad to be in the house of the Lord? I know that like me, you are just glad to just hear a word. Our spirits may be just deleted and depleted from just pouring out into the people all around the world on our jobs and our families. And as the more that we pray for our country and the decisions that's being made, we have a lot of things that's before. We have a lot of things behind us. But God wants us to know we have a lot of things that's in the future, and He knows that future. He knows that past. He knows your thoughts before you begin to even think them. So why not trust Him with all of your fears? Why not trust Him with all of your concerns? It may be from the Iran, the oil embargoment that is going on, or the treaty that we're trying to pass. It may be from the local things that's going on in North Carolina and South Carolina, the different race figures that are coming against each other to march and say who's their side and divorce their side. And then we go into Chattanooga, Tennessee, and we see that just the innocent military men and women just setting, doing their jobs and our lives are at danger and victims and five are now. If it is ever a time that we need to come together and set aside all of our concerns about where you're from and your nationality, we need to group together and say, let me have your strength and put them together with my strength. Let me put my culture together with your culture because we're all one Christ. We're all from one master, created from one potter. Hallelujah. Let's go into the word. Hallelujah. All get your sword. Let's do this. Remember, the sword is the spirit of God's word. And we need God's word right now, don't we? Matthew 22 and 37 through 40 is where we're going to read. It's not a long one, and I know that it's what you've heard many times before, but I ask today that you open up your heart, and let's speak from our hearts. Let's receive it from our hearts, because when we give this word to others, we want to give from our hearts, because if we have invited Jesus Christ to come and live inside of us, He is in our hearts, and His love wells within us, and that's what we want to present to men and women around the world. Amen? It's not the wrath of God that's going to bring men and make them impel men to come and be with God and see what He has for them, but it's the love of God that compels them. It's the love of God that gets their attention. It's the love of God that pulls them out of that strife. It's the love of God that changes their heart from the heart, and the heart is softened to see things the way that He sees them. It's the love of God that will invite them to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior instead of going out and destroying the Christians. You want to see a difference in this world. You want to see the things around your newspaper and your news and your reporters. You want to see it start to make a difference. It starts with the love of God. It's not about what you think. It's not about the jealousy of what who has and I don't have. But it is the love of God. Matthew 22:37. Shall we read? Amen. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thou God with all thy heart. Let's say it one more time. Thou shalt what? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Thine heart. We want to speak a little bit today on that. You said, I love the Lord, but we want to look at what it means to actually love the Lord with all thine heart, okay? And then it goes on to say, and with all thy soul. Oh, you said, now you asked them a little bit much of me now, evangelist. Come on now. But it says now, and with all of thy mind. So now I just want to take a little time today and just God has asked me to remind you that how are you loving him? How are you loving him? Are you loving the Lord with all of your heart? Or just the part that you agree on, just the part that you can understand, but the things that you do not understand is going on around you, how are you loving with that? Is that something that you're not into right now? Is that a different part of you? Are you not focused on that? But with all of thine heart is where we should be loving the Lord. And then he says, not just with all of thine heart. He said, you should love me with all of thy soul. Hallelujah, with all of thy soul. All of their soul, all of their being, all of their mind shall be within love, in connection with God. We're in this thing together, sisters and brothers. We're in this thing together. We're reading on in Matthew 22:37-40. This is your host, Minister Von Dillis. I'm coming to you live today from San Antonio, Texas. Happy Sunday out there to you. God bless you. May you praise and worship him every day of your life, like every day is Sabbath. Amen? Let's continue. Again, Matthew 22:37-40. So this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. So the second reflects back on the first. It says, thou shalt love thou neighbor. Okay, well, I love my neighbor. I speak to them generously, and I do my salutations. But it says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as what? Thyself. That means if you hurt others, that means that if you're in need, I'm in need. Amen? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That means not competing against your neighbor. And then on these two commandments, you can hang all of the Ten Commandments on these two. It says on these two commandments, you hang all the law and the prophets on these two. And you see what that is saying is, if you can command, and if you can get these two in your heart, if you can get these two commandments down in your spirit, if you can love the Lord with all your heart, if you can love the Lord with all your soul, if you can love the Lord with all your mind, then you will love thy neighbor as thyself. Then you will love your friends, and you will love the ones that are around you that even though they persecute you, you will love and find in God a way to forgive. So you can be all the rest. All the other ten, you will not steal, you will not murder, you will not covet your neighbor's wife, you will not do any of the things that you will not put idols before God. You will love the God. Our love for God will overpower any of the other things that comes before. So you can hang these two commandments, my sisters and brothers, on all the law and the prophets. Amen? Amen. Thus saith the Lord, amen. Well, we're in this thing together. We are in this thing together. And with all the things that is going on in the world today, we pray for all families that are in bereavement. Just want to take a minute or two. I know our precious time passes quickly, doesn't it, when we get to enjoying ourselves. But this is so important, too, that we reach out to each other and just let our sisters and brothers know that all around the world, as you're in bereavement, it may not be a public announcement of where your loved one has passed on and how they passed on, but we know that all around the world, people are in bereavement. So we reach out and just let them know that we hear you, we're praying with you, we feel your pain, you know. And then we'll specialize and just stop for a minute and just for the ones that are in the news that we know about, that is affecting our country day and night with the different things that we're terrorists, organization, and we have all different ones that we don't even have to say their name because they're so beneath to even say their name. But for the ones that are going and beheading people all over the world, and even for the ones in Chattanooga, you know, we pray for all of those families. And I thank you for the community coming together, no black and white or Hispanic or Muslims, regardless of the nationality. But did you see that? Just everybody coming together just to say, let's pray. Let's go to God in prayer. together for our sisters and brothers. It doesn't matter what their nationality was. They were children of God. Their families are paining and in need of our prayers. And so we ask that you not let your heart get hardened. We ask that you hold forgiveness inside of you. The families all come forward to say that they forgive this young man. They're hurting the behavior that he did. The behavior is always going to be there, and it's terrible pain for them right now. But it's for forgiveness in their heart for them to go forward, for them to seek and find what it is that God has for them. After this, they can't be stuck behind a wall of unforgiveness. So just real quickly, 1 John 1:9, I read to you. It said, if we confess our sins, God is just and will forgive us our sins. So for all the doers of the evil things that is done, you have a chance, if you still have breath in your body right now, to confess your sins. Confess your sins. You need to ask for forgiveness of your sins. And God is faithful, and he is just, and he will forgive you of your sins. Don't think that you've gone too far that you cannot be forgiven. Confess your sins before the Lord. You know, when we confess our failings to God, he willingly offers us forgiveness. Yes, sister. Yes, brother. You, wherever it's at, you say, I've done some bad things, though, but he willingly offers us, as all of us, forgiveness. We can count on he will offer us forgiveness. That's when we confess from our heart our failing to our God. He will not refuse to forgive us. Even if we make another mistake, he will not refuse to forgive us. You know, yet there are many times when we don't feel forgiven. You know, there's times when we feel that we've crossed some kind of invisible line and that God would give up on us. But the Bible reassures us that through our feelings, although we may be feeling like that this is too far, it reassures us that regardless of what people may say, oh, you've done too much now. No, God can't even forgive that. It said God's forgiveness is constant. So if we confess our sins, he will forgive us. It's a promise we can bank on. And it's a promise that we can share with others too. So as we are thanking God and praying for the families that are in mourning, let's pray for all the ones, dear Father, that are committing sin and have sin in their heart and looking to do some other horrible crime to outdo the one that you've heard about before. Let's start praying for those before it happens and counseling out any acts of terrorism, any acts against your family, any acts against our country, any acts against our president, whether it's bad thoughts, negative thoughts, whether you're wishing for he or she to fail in whatever positions they're in, let's start praying against that. Hallelujah. So as we pray today, I remind you to just seek God's mercy for your sins. Remember, we all are sinners. So let's ask God to seek his mercy for our sins. And then we pray for the sins of others. And then let's pray for illumination as you reach and search your heart. Search your heart. That self-examination of you. Let's pray that God just reflects what it is that's inside of there, that you're able to see what it is that sometimes you may die to sin. And as you pray today, I remind you to receive God's cleansing deep within. Yeah, he may have to move stuff around and it may shake a little bit. But to receive God's cleansing deep within, let him just wash your soul. And then when he washes your soul, he will fill you with his holiness. You start to feel a little different. You're going to notice the difference. You got to allow him to wash your soul. You got to allow him to fill you up with his holiness. Amen? And that's when you're going to be able to start to love God with all of your heart, to love God with all of your soul, to love God with all of your mind. all of you, all of your mind, as you pray today. Claim his protection against the temptation to doubt his forgiveness. Claim his temptation. Claim his protection. Say, it's mine. I believe it. I'm not going to let nothing and no one tear this wall against me that to tell me that God has not forgiven me for my sins if I confess my sins to the Lord. So claim his protection against the temptation to doubt his forgiveness. And believe me, if doubters out there that's going to try to put it into you, the enemy has them lined up to tell you why God is not going to forgive you, to remind you of all of the things that you've done. Has there ever been a time that you ran into an old friend or old acquaintance, somebody you may have hung with and did some dirt with, and time has passed on and on and on? And you had some happy times with them, not just when you was doing dirt, but you had some good times, doing some good things too. But the first thing that they say when they see you is, I remember when. Oh, you remember when you did this and you did that. There's nothing about speaking for what God has said and has in the Word for you right now and what you're doing now in your life, but it's all about seeking the Lord and then reminding you of what you did and where you've been. Where you've been. They want to put doubt in your heart. They want to put doubt in your spirit. They want your spirit to be so doubtful that you start to sit back and reconsider, am I really born again? Well, I did do all of that thing. Am I really forgiven of my sin? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So as you pray, make sure that you seek God's mercy for your sin. You receive God's cleansing with the deep within you. Allow him to wash your soul and fill you, your spirit, with holiness. And then claim his protection against the temptation to doubt his forgiveness. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we say thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for another day's journey. Thank you for life, dear Father. Thank you for the grass that grows. Thank you for every creature and animal. Thank you for our protection on this journey. Thank you for forgiveness, dear Father. We thank you, dear Father, that we can bring all of our requests. And we ask that you just look within our hearts. Dear Father, deal with each and one of us individually. As we come in prayer today for all the things, dear Father. Dear Father, we ask that you just individually answer those prayers to us. Reveal some things, dear Father, that is deep inside of us that we may not have overlooked. And we pray and receive your forgiveness, Jesus, for all of the sins that we bring before you. As we confess our sins, we know that you are a man of your word, a God of your word, and you cannot lie, and that you will forgive us. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, I decrease, may you increase, continue to speak to us as a whole, as your family. Amen. 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 You know, we're in this thing together. In this thing together. You know, when you accept Jesus Christ into your life, there is a difference. There is a difference that you will, the change starts instantly. You start to see things throughout your day, throughout your days, throughout the months and the years as you continue to change. But that transformation by a personal revelation of God's love, it starts right there. You see, it started back in John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I think it's so remarkable that one of the biggest things that the people of the world, even in the churches, are so confused about, that we're fighting about, is giving. They're giving. They're so worried about someone else receiving. Giving is one of the biggest things that just stops and blocks and will give, start wars. It's about giving. But God so loved the world, and that's what he did. He gave us the example. He gave. What did he give? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, you begin to understand that God is an ultimate giver. And while the gift is free to any that asks and any that is willing to receive it, the gift is free. But it cost him the greatest price, his only begotten son. So it's up to you now. It's up to you now to study the word. It's up to you to discover what that means to your future with him. You know, Jesus makes it pretty clear how important it is to him for us to love his world in Matthew 22:37-40. We just read it. Remember, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart. He's shown us how important it is that we love the world. If we love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all our mind, he said this is the first and the greatest commandment. Then he said, and the second commandment is likened to it. It reflects. It's just a continuation of the first one. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's how important it is. Then he said, if you love and contract, if you can find these two in your heart, you'll find all the other commandments in your heart. You know, it's an inherited love with responsibility. We are responsible for each other. You know, when we fall in love with Jesus and we accept him into our hearts, we all inherit that great love that he has for the world. We inherit what he has in his heart, right? His desires become a part of our desires. His desires is that none may perish. Why are we so quick to turn our back? Why are we so quick to throw a knife in our back and someone else's back? His desires is that none may perish. Why are we so quick to throw denomination up and say, I'm only going to give the word to this peer group? Let them get it on their own. They don't even believe in my. Why are we so eager to just turn and walk away? Why are we so eager to go inside of our four walls of a church and just preach to each other? Why are we not willing to get out here where the stick is if we got the healing balm? We got the balm that is that's a healer. Hallelujah. We got the balm that has set you free when you think that there is no deliverance in sight for you. There's people living in your neighborhood right now that's in prison in their own mind. Yeah, God wants an unfairness. So when we accept his love and we fall in love with him, we inherit all of the great love that he has for the world. You know, the thing is that we don't always understand the responsibility that goes with that great love. You know, Mark 16:15 says that, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Not everyone is called to be a minister, to be the gift of maybe evangelists or apostles, but, you know, but the Holy Spirit has given many gifts. But everyone who receives the great love of God has a part in the divine work of evangelism to some degree. Everyone. See, we're all called to be a blessing to each other, to be a light into a dark place for someone. We're all called to love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, unfortunately, competition, jealousy, those things is causing a big division in the world. Those things are causing a big division in the body of Christ. Humanity was created to be unity. We have all been created in God's image and God's likeness. He is the Father of all men. If we ever get that true understanding, we won't look so much at our brother as the color of their skin. We won't look at our brothers so much as where they've been and where they came from. But if we could all just get the thought together that he is the Father of all men, and because of that, we are all brothers and sisters. We're God's family, and we're called to be responsible to one another. If we could ever get the understanding that we are one family, we could all unite together and break down some of these walls, fight against the enemies that come against our minds, fight against the enemies that come against our spirit. Hallelujah. Our love for God that brings us together. It's our love of God that ignites the passion to love others. It's our love for God that it is up to us to follow through and do the things that we say, do the things that we talk about, because our true love for God It's a social responsibility. And the fate of this world depends on it. The fate of this world depends on it. You know, that's why I can't stop saying that I've fallen in love with God. And God is in love with his people. You know, you got to have a personal revelation of God's great love. And it's got to be that great love that presses you onward to preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel. You say, I don't even know where to begin. Start with Jesus loves you. Not in an indignant tone or not in a tone that is going to turn somebody off, but in a true matter of heart, whatever disagreement you may have had, you got to stop for a moment and at the end just lay it down and say, you know what, even though we may disagree, I agree that Jesus loves you. I agree that Jesus loves me. I agree because of that we are sisters and brothers. And I agree that it is so important to our Father that we love each other as thyself, even through disagreements, even through disappointments, even through heartache, even through pain, we're still family. You know, as many times as family do something wrong or somebody lie on you or they tell us, go against you and tell your secret or do something, and we run as far away as we can, generally just trying to run. It's nowhere you can go. Family was put in place for a reason. That's where you run back to. It's okay to disagree. It's okay to bring that situation to your family. It's okay to expect them to do better. It's okay to learn who you can and cannot tell your secrets to. But we must always remember, we are sisters and brothers. We are God's family. We are one unit. We are responsible for each other. We are going to be held accountable today and in eternity for each other. Yes, yes, yes. You know, in Genesis, the Lord spoke to, he asked the question, and he says to Cain, he says, Cain says, am I my brother's? You know, that was Adam and Eve's early oldest son, who was also the first murderer. And when the Lord asked him, where's your brother? What have you done, Cain? He said, am I my brother's keeper? He's asking that same question of you and I today. What answer are you getting? I remind you that you could call me for prayer. You can reach out to me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. This is your host again, Minister Von Dennis. Come into the program. I thank you for those that are in the chat room. Make sure that you leave a message. Go in the archive and look back on the other ones. Rate the show. It's very important to hear from you. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for each and every one of you. Let's continue. As I... my brother's keeper was the question that Cain asked Jesus. He asked God, right? That answer should always be yes. So we have to ask ourselves that. It's many times we pass someone that's in distress, and that's what's in our mind. I don't know them. In other words, am I my brother's keeper? The answer is yes. As many times you know that your neighbor is suffering and don't have any food. But you're going out for that third time this week, spending money that you can buy groceries for your neighbors. And if you bypass that opportunity, that is just a question being asked of you. Am I my brother's keeper? You're answering that in a negative way. There's many times that you know it's clothes in your closet that you haven't worn and can't even fit any longer. But you refuse to give it away to that sister and brother at work that you see that is your size and in dire need of some assistance in the clothing area. So you would rather just go at the water cooler and just speak again about how they're wearing the same thing over again. Or you would rather just talk negative about how that doesn't fit or how that's not in style. Well, you have their style sitting in your closet. Am I my brother's keeper? How are you answering that question today? If you haven't done anything about it, your answer is no. Your answer is no. You know, the whole problem between Cain and Abel is centered around their offering to God. You might say it was the first religious conflict. You know, both boys knew that they were present, presenting offerings in their worship to God. Abel offered the first of his flock and accepted by God. Cain bought an offering from the fruit of the ground, now that same ground that had been cursed when Adam and Eve sinned against God in the Garden of Eden, but God rejected it. God told Cain, he said that if he would just make an appropriate sacrifice, it would be approved and accepted. You know, the bottom line is that Cain had a fit of jealousy. He didn't want to offer a sacrifice God's way. He wanted to offer it his own way. And that's the way that so many of us live our lives right now. You don't tell me to give a tenth. I give an offering. I give whatever I want to. You don't tell me that I have to love my brother this way. I'm nice. I don't do wrong to anybody. I'm not robbing anybody. You know, the road of hell is paved with good intentions. You said, I have good intentions to do this. I have good intentions to do that. But I don't want to do it God's way. I don't want to love God's way. I don't want to show love God's way. I don't want to worship God's way. I want to do it the way I want to do it. As long as I'm doing something I feel good in my heart, that's all I want to do. That was Cain's spirit. That's the way Cain felt. That's what Cain lived by. That was the destruction of Cain. He didn't want to offer God a sacrifice the way that he wanted. God had spoken for him to. So this is all Abel's fault, he thought. Abel's been everyone's favorite since the day he was born. Can you hear him talking? He said, I'm going to clean this little sheep shepherd's flock, you know. Everyone thinks he's so much. Let me just show him. Now, Cain didn't set out to murder his brother blindly. You know, God warned him what would happen before. God had told him what his sacrifice was unaccepted. God spoke to him and said, if thou do not well, sin lieth at your door. It's the same thing. If you do not follow the word of God, if you do not study and practice the word of God, sin lieth at your door. When you try to do right, we can even fail and go to the wrong road. So you know when you're just living every day and you're not studying every day, when you know when you're just getting up and you're just taking your chances out here that you're going to do it, and you say, God bless you here and God bless you there, but you don't have a word to tell anyone throughout the day that Jesus loves you, or you're not trying to do anything to edify the kingdom of God, you're going to find yourself in sin. Sin lies at your door. In other words, God said, I'm warning you, Cain. You better shape up now or you're going to get yourself in trouble. How many times have someone told you, you better stop doing the thing now, that's going to get you in trouble? Fat meat is greasy. And you just keep on one more time. If I can just do it one more time, you're going to get yourself in trouble, is the word. See, Cain ignored that warning. He ignored that warning, and he ended up killing his brother. God said the voice of his brother's blood cries to him from the ground. You know that means that killing someone doesn't stop the cry that goes up to God. What? God said it. That's his word. He said that the voice of your brother's blood, it cries to him from the ground. You know, the Lord asked Cain, where is your brother? He said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? So that, again, that's the passage that it needs to speak to your heart. That's the passage that God is asking you. You have to think about it. And you look at all the destruction around your neighborhood. Let's start there, in your neighborhood, that you could do something about. But you say, am I my brother's keeper? That's none of my business. Am I my brother's keeper? No, that's not my four no more. I got my four going on. I have food for mine. I'm disciplining my kids. But you see that kid that's running a little wayward there in the neighborhood. You see that he doesn't have that discipline. Yeah, you know, instead of you reaching and saying something to try to help him or give him a word of confidence, doing something that would engage you in a way that we can look at you and say, whoa, maybe there's another way of thinking. I had no idea. You are your brother's keeper. We're in this thing together. We're in this thing together. You see, God made a covenant with all mankind. So if he made a covenant with all mankind, why would we think that we're not responsible? We're in love with God. We're in God's family. Why would we think that we're not responsible for all mankind? All mankind. We each have to answer that question. See, we're going to have to answer it by our actions that we live in this life. The way that we live, not the words that we say, but the actions that we take in this life. We are answering that question. Whether you hear it or not, we're answering that question. And we're also answering that question one day face-to-face at judgment. Were you your brother's keeper? For the body of Christ to function the way that God intended it to function. See, if you hurt, then I should hurt too. If you hurt, I should hurt too. If my community hurts, I should hurt too. If my country hurts, I should hurt too. If you hurt, I should hurt. You can't stomp your toe and it doesn't. Your whole body, every member of your body starts to react to it in some way. Your mouth starts to speak and say things. Your eyes start to immediately go to the area that has been hurt. Your hands start to move and try to comfort by touching and rubbing. Hallelujah. Your legs give you comfort and say, let me bend, let me sit, let me relax. Your mind starts to put thoughts in your mind of what should I do? How bad am I hurt? Do I need paramedics? What do I need to say and do? All of the members of your body are coming to one family unit. My brother's keeper. Am I my brother's keeper? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in order for that body of Christ to function the way that God intended it to, we all got to be there. We can't look across the street and see that the Methodist Church is going through some things right now, and we know that the bills, and we're seeing things are falling off of the church, and it could have some repairs, but we're constantly giving our extra over here to the ministry that has everything flourishing and more and more and more. But if God is directing your heart to be over here, you've got to go beyond denomination. You got to go for the love of God. We're in this together. It's for the love of God. And if thou first, if you do not get it together, sin lieth at your door. Sin lieth at your door. Have you ever wondered why churches fight against each other? That's a different message, but, you know, could it be because they haven't answered the question that are they responsible for each other? Or could it be that they're answering the question with the wrong answer? They just strictly don't see how that would be their problem. They're watching out to all of the Church of God. They're watching out to each other. The Pentecostals watching out to each other. The Baptists, I'm helping each other. We have our association, and we watch out for each other. You know, people say, why do you love the Catholics? Why do you love the Lutherans? Well, because they love you. Hallelujah. Could it be that they're just answering things the wrong way? Ladies and gentlemen, we are in this together. And we're going to continue on our next session and finish this one here out as we talk about stepping across that invisible line. As we're talking about working together. As we're talking about working together, we work all the way God. We're talking about that doubt that we're praying about. Amen? So let's just, as we close, and remind ourselves that as we pray today, we're going to seek God's mercy for your sin. And pray for illumination as you search your heart. We really want him to show you things that you may not even know to be aware of that's inside of your heart. We're also going to pray today to receive God's cleansing deep within us. That we invite God to just wash our souls and fill us with his Holy Spirit. And we also pray today that we claim his protection. We claim it as ours. Stamp your name on his protection. That protection against the temptation to doubt his forgiveness. It's not if, but it's when. That temptation, a doubt is going to come. But pray against it. Say, I'm protected against this doubt. I knew you was coming, so I've already prayed up. I've already put on the coat of protection against this temptation to believe that God has not forgiven. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word, Jesus. Thank you for your people. We ask that you do well in each and one of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We thank you, Jesus, for each and every one that is in the chat rooms, that is on the lines, live, that is going to be coming back onto the broadcast to finish up the different segments that we go through. We thank you, dear Father, for watching over their homes and their spirits, and we ask you to just direct their minds and their hearts to do the right thing in you, to search and love after you. Amen? Now, do you want a revelation of God's love for you? Do you want to see it in your life? You know, it's one thing for me to speak it to you, but for God to reveal these things to you. Friend, you are the one Jesus came for. He came just for you. His reason that he came for you? You said, me and all the things that I've done, me and my family has a curse on it. Me and my family has a molestation curse that's gone for generations. He came for me, yes, he came for you. And his reason was love. It was love that drove Jesus to the manger. It was love that sent Jesus to the cross. An amazing love that housed God's own desires for a reconciled family. Reconciliation is what it is that he wants. God is love, my friend. God is love. And the embodiment of all his divine love is the Son he sent to save you, Jesus Christ. Would you accept God's love today? His love. Simply just open up your heart and let these words be your guide to receive God's love. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. Please forgive me for my sins and create a clean, new heart in me. Hallelujah. Renew my spirit so that I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Amen. So important. Well, congratulations. I shout congratulations. And I welcome you to the family of God. You right now have a brand new victorious life full of God's love to look forward to.